is a Disaster, a podcast about disasters and the music they make us listen to. I'm Peter, and I'm here with my co-host Lee.
I'm Lee, and I'm here with my co-host Peter.
On studio.
In the studio.
That's French for in the studio.
Oh, oui.
Yeah, I said en.
Dans.
En dans.
In the studio.
Yeah, in the studio. My son's learning French in school.
So you're learning French
again. Well, I already kind of knew French.
You're pretty good French.
He's better now. He's getting better quickly.
Good. Yeah, I was like, when my daughter was learning, I was like, oh, good, I can finally learn French. Nope. Turns out she does the homework. I don't even.
He's going to blow past me.
Exactly.
I speak French, but like by second grade, he's going to be fluent. And I'm going to be like.
He'll be conjugating you into the dirt.
Parapluie. My claim to fame is I can tell him what that means right now. But that's going to
disappear. That is, buddy. It's an umbrella. I know. You've said that so many times.
Here's some Molière from memory. Nice. Anyway, you're joining us for another major disaster brought to you by Lee.
Me.
Maybe we should do a little catching up first. I got some news, but
it's been a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, some like groundbreaking news.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know, I don't know if you knew this. Lately, like when I choose to play a game on the PC,
yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but typically it's Doom Eternal.
Oh, yeah.
Have I brought that up before?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a sequel to the original Doom.
Right.
It's got like demons.
You like shoot guns and...
You do. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, hard into that.
Yes.
A couple of days ago, I messaged you about this, but I discovered a demo for a game called Deadlink.
Yeah.
And I've played a total of like 2 hours of it, and not once have I thought about Doom Eternal while playing
Wow.
it, which I'm going to tell you is a big deal, because over the last 2.5 years, I've started and stopped playing other games in like the first 15 minutes, because I'll always be playing and I'll be like, yeah, but not Doom though.
Yeah, but where's the meat hook?
Yeah.
Sorry, Fallen Order. No meat hook in the lightsaber.
You know, not sponsored, not taking any money from them, but play Deadlink immediately.
I downloaded the demo. I haven't played it yet, but
they describe it as Hades meets Doom Eternal, and that's perfect.
It's got a Doom Eternal vibe to it. I saw some in-air mobility
going
on, in-flight mobility.
And then at the end of every room, it's like Hades, where you basically get the option of going through three different doors for three different types of upgrades. It's randomized.
I love Hades.
Man, I'm going to
poop out of that.
Yeah, well, I loved it too, but that was a game where... So Hades, I think I got like a couple hours in.
Nice.
But I got back to like...
You're like, oh, demons.
Not Doom, though. it could be because Deadlink is like a direct translation of skills.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's like the... If you know how to play Doom Eternal, you know how to play Deadlink.
Right.
But...
that's good news.
But it bodes well. This is just the demo, so it's more coming. So that's my big news.
That's your...
That's my big news.
Played a different video game.
Look, know me. You know that playing a different video game for more than 15 minutes after
these
last 2 years.
That's a headline.
Yeah. How about you? How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Doing good. I'll say it. we were talking earlier. I went to see one of my favorite bands from when I was a teenager, Voivod, who I've brought them up.
Yeah.
At least once on this show.
I think twice even.
Maybe even twice.
Been your recommendation.
They have, yeah. So I went to see these aging French-Canadian thrashers, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And I was not quite the oldest and fattest in the room, but,
it was
right in the median. And it was funny because I, that week, I just destroyed my back at work.
Oh, shit.
I had 2 weeks off prior.
Right.
Where I did... Nothing.
Nice.
Then I went back to work and I was like, step aside. Those skids, I got them.
Shit.
See that pile of heavy boxes? I'm just going to load those in sort of a swivel motion.
Oh, no.
And I destroyed my right glute.
Oh,
I couldn't stand up straight. It's your butt.
You hurt your butt.
I hurt my butt.
That's a pain.
Which is not as bad as hurting your back. But
no, it's true.
It's
still a, it's a pain in the ass.
Excuse me.
That's funny.
And I was like, I'm not missing this fucking show. So I sort of like hobbled my way there. And I was just, I'm just going to stand here. And then the first song they played, I wasn't expecting them to play that song.
Right.
But it was really excited. So I was like, yay! And I just kind of like hobbled towards the front middle.
Yeah.
And then towards, say, the third song, the pit opened up.
Oh, shit.
And me and every other dude my age was like, no! Nope. It was like... the parting of the Red Sea, yeah. But from like a different point of view.
Nice.
And then I just sort of, you know, hobbled over to the side. Like, oh, that's better.
Nice. And, or was it the receding of the Reed Sea caused by Thera Destroyer?
That's what I meant to say.
Check that episode out.
More on brand for us.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's good.
Anyway, good catch up. Yeah. Let's get to disaster. Lee, what are we talking about today?
Oh, today, well... Today, I've got another musical installment.
Awesome.
And Peter, you had mentioned quite a while. I mean, it's towards the beginning of our what do you call sabbatical?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You had asked if I could come up with an episode that was not so much a disaster as more of a disaster near miss.
Right.
Something that's a little bit uplifting.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It really is. I tried doing it too, and I realized how ill-conceived that was.
Well, I mean, because, yeah, we can talk about death and destruction,
yep.
You know, as till the cows come home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Or get murdered by a bunch of hippies.
Exactly. Those hippies are so weird.
Check out the last episode.
Yeah. The cows, they don't come home. They don't make it. So yeah, I sort of racked my brain, and I wasn't even sure what to plug into Google for that one.
Right.
I was like, disaster, success. Like some album that got made and everyone loved it. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So kind of put it on the back burner, and I just went back to the usual misery.
Right.
Making notes about
so much easier.
This and that.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. The path of least resistance, I like to call it. And then it kind of hit me. As I was binging a certain band,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Oh yeah, that event. Well, everyone knows about that. Why would I bother?
I probably don't."
This is the thing, because I kind of thought the same thing when I covered the so-called "Day the Music Died," which is also known as the untimely deaths of Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. Right. I did that for one of our Patreon exclusive. Micro disasters.
That's right. Patreon.com/thisdisasterpod.
Which you didn't talk about any of that stuff in the intro.
Oh, shit.
But
I'll get it at the end.
We'll get it at the end. So there's a little, that's another ad for the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of came to the same conclusion as I did for that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been such a long time since that particular event took place. Maybe people don't know what it's all about.
Right.
I'm just used to seeing it from my perspective. I'm like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows about that. Maybe they don't. So today,
yep.
I'll be talking about drummer Rick Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He of pop metal superstars, Def Leppard. Now let's test the waters here. Peter, when I mentioned the drummer for Def Leppard,
yep.
What do you know about him?
Enter Sandman. That's metal.
Oh, I'm
That's
not Metallica. Even there yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that is Metallica.
Sweet Home Alabama. The drummer from Def Leppard.
Like, are you
I'm
aware
going to assume
anything?
That he's not a hearing impaired leopard. No?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
So you don't know anything about him that's unique or something that happened.
Probably played the drums. Oh, wait. Did he only have one hand?
Yeah.
Nice.
One arm.
See, and I probably by extension one hand.
Well, you are right. But I had to correct
you. Had to extend. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
It's a half truth.
I suppose he could have had a hand like on the shoulder. That happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Okay.
Does it?
It can.
It could.
I'm not sure
any doctor would sanction that.
I haven't seen all arms, hands.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Could happen naturally.
Fair enough. So I guess that was buried somewhere in my consciousness. Never seen him. Don't know if I can identify a Def Leppard.
Okay. And I thought it would be weird to sort of, okay, let's say Peter does know that, and mm-hmm. to kind of tease it and
right.
have it be a big reveal. So yeah. Clearly we're not doing that.
Oh, damn.
He's got one arm.
No.
But I'm going to tell you how that happened.
I can pretend that I don't know.
Nah, I don't do that.
Okay. Don't do what?
Don't pretend.
Pretend what?
I forget.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so... But yeah, like you mm-hmm. and maybe our younger listeners, mm-hmm. they don't know this. They didn't ever know this guy only had, was a one-armed drummer mm-hmm. in a really successful band. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, but yeah, can you name one of their songs? Def Leppard.
Really? Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. No, AC/DC.
Yep. See, you know when you're wrong.
What in this context?
You're on the right radio station.
Right. Def Leppard.
Something about sugar. Leppard.
Wow, that really narrows it down. sugar.
I thought you were joking.
No, really?
I thought you were like, oh, you just gave it away. Oh, no.
No.
Sugar. No, that's the Archies. Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. Def Leppard. No, I honestly don't know if I can even conjure their sound in my mind.
Okay. I was looking for Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Nope.
Okay. You've heard it. You just don't realize it.
Okay, fair enough.
They're ubiquitous. One of those bands.
Okay, cool. I'm sure I have.
You have. Okay. And you will. You're going to go home and listen to them.
Okay.
I'm going to inspire you.
All right.
So, let's talk about Def Leppard.
Please.
A band from Sheffield, England, mm-hmm. formed in 19... 19-
England? I never would have guessed. I'm way off. Not even on the right continent.
Nice. Yeah.
Thailand.
Exactly. Yeah. Formed in 1977. Mm-hmm. They were lumped in with the up-and-coming so-called new wave of British heavy metal.
Motorhead.
Okay. Yeah. They would disagree.
Why would they disagree?
I don't know.
I would want to be lumped in.
Lemmy was a bit of a contrarian.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Rock and roll band, mate. Sorry. Please don't kill me. Yeah, that was a movement that was happening in the UK mm-hmm. at the time when punk rock was kind of exploding, and it was just sort of pushback, like, no, mate, rock and roll.
Oh, okay.
But kind of harnessing the energy of punk at the same time.
I see, okay.
Kind of neat.
Yeah.
other bands considered to be part of the new album thing mm-hmm. would be Saxon, Angel Witch, mm-hmm. Venom.
Oh, yeah. Familiar with Venom.
Tigers of Pantang, and of course... Iron Maiden mm-hmm. being the most successful.
Okay.
Enduring.
Is Iron Maiden from the UK?
You sure are.
Motherfucker. I don't know anything.
You're as British as it gets.
I don't know anything.
You don't know anything. I'm here to teach you.
Oh, boy.
I don't know anything about anything else.
Well, fair enough.
That's where you give it back to me.
Okay, cool.
Rick Allen was just 15 when he joined Def Leppard shortly after the release of their first self-titled EP. Mm-hmm. They released their first album, On Through the Night, in 1980, followed by High and Dry in 1981, mm-hmm. the latter being the first of many albums produced by Robert John Mutt Lang.
Wow.
Or Mutt Lang, as he's known.
Like hyphenated?
Like quotes around
Mutt Lang?
Mutt Lang. Yeah. No, like a Mutt Lang.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. All these guys have like funny nicknames and quotes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So lots of touring in the UK mm-hmm. and especially in the States, being opening act for AC/DC, Pat Travers, mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne, mm-hmm. and walking, talking disaster, Ted Nugent.
Okay.
We should talk about him at some point.
Freebird.
Piece of shit. No.
Okay.
Stop it.
Well, just you, another white person's name. Like, no, there's too many of them.
601. I agree. 1982 saw the recording of what would prove to be their breakout album, that being Pyromania, mm-hmm. which came out the following year, 1983. And again, they were working with Mutt Lang, and in this instance, pretty much relinquished all creative decisions to him.
Okay.
Not to say they weren't writing their own material, they were, mm-hmm. but what they really wanted was a hit record. Like a number one mm-hmm. with lots of singles.
Okay.
And Mutt Lang, having a few of those under his belt at that point, he'd produced like Highway to Hell and Back in Black, AC/DC,
yep.
and Foreigner and a bunch of crap.
Right.
He basically said, you want to hit an album, you do everything I say.
Okay.
And this is where things got kind of interesting and likely very frustrating for the still two armed Rick Allen.
I'm sorry, what?
He was
so he wasn't born in the
oh no
Oh boy, I didn't know that.
Did I not make that clear?
No.
No.
Okay.
He was a two-armed
twist.
Really good drummer.
Okay.
Oh, we'll get there.
Right.
An interesting, well, I'll get to that later.
Okay.
As far as Mutt Lange was concerned, in 1983, all hit albums at the time had programmed drums. So that's what they went with on Pyromania.
Okay.
Except for the cymbals, which was something you really couldn't get a decent version of in from a drum machine, like in a rock band.
Right.
It's just going to be so obvious. Because honestly, I kind of kick myself for this, but I only just recently kind of realized, like, drums are fake.
Huh.
I thought maybe they were pads or just sort of triggers or something, but he was just sitting.
So, like, did he just sit there and play the cymbals while listening to the programmed drums?
Yes.
Wow.
He just sat and waited, watching Buddy ripping a guitar solo. Right. Singer, like, he's just like, when do I get to go ping, 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 ping on a ride cymbal?
Wow.
So
trippy. Yeah, I've always, ever since I learned that that's how they did recorded drums for that Queens of the Stone Age album, the red one, the one after Rated R, the one with Dave Grohl on drums.
Oh, Songs for the Deaf?
Songs for the Deaf. How can I forget? Yeah, they were, so the way that they recorded it is they recorded the drums and the cymbals separately.
I almost think that's a Dave Grohl thing.
He doesn't do it all the time.
He did the same thing for the one, he played on one Killing Joke album.
Yep.
And he did that.
Really? Okay.
Like, you can hear it. He's like,
yeah.
He doesn't have eight arms as far as I know.
Right. Yeah. but like what they did, I guess, because it is a recording technique, because it makes it, obviously makes it easier to mix the cymbals and the drums.
Right.
Because you don't get any bleed from the cymbals.
That's what I thought Mutt Lange was doing on Pyromania, because I've heard the separated tracks. Like, oh, the cymbals are separated. Like, cool for mixing. Yeah. Must be hell on earth for playing.
I know I couldn't do it. You need to be like a Dave Grohl to pull it off.
Yeah, yeah. Because Dave Grohl could.
If I take a single element out of the drum kit, it's toast. I'm done.
Yeah.
It just
it doesn't work. Yeah. I would still have to be swinging my arm against nothing.
Yeah.
One thing that's also weird that I found out years ago is like, If you're working on a high profile album, a producer can fire you from the album if you're not cutting it.
Really?
Like, I think that happened to someone in Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
Around Antichrist Superstar or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I know it happened to this Canadian band, the Gandharvas, who kind of went nowhere, but the drummer got like fired, not from the band, but just like, you're not playing on the album.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that color and shape, right?
Yeah.
Foo Fighters had a drummer.
Yeah.
Until.
And he's like, nope.
Dave Grohl accidentally on purpose re-recorded all the drums.
Yeah. No one's ever given a definitive why that happened, but
it's
everyone's
not,
got their sort of spin on
it. It's not fair. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime situation that you find a Taylor Hawkins who played the drums just like Dave Grohl.
Right.
And anyone else wouldn't, I don't think anyone else would have filled that role.
No. And even he admitted that on the, because he played on the next album,
right,
but not all of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not ready. Dave was like, no, you're not. But we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Play on some of it. But like,
it's just not fair. Can you imagine? Like, yeah, I guess I'll drum for the drummer from Nirvana. I'm sure he doesn't have a lot of thoughts about how the drums should sound.
But William Goldsmith is a great drummer.
Sure, he is.
He would have been fine. It's stupid. I don't know.
But
maybe he tried and it sucked. I don't know.
Maybe it was the pressure. Maybe it was the fact that I know Dave Grohl's name and I don't know Williams.
Yeah, maybe Dave Grohl's not as nice as we think. He's a studio tyrant, maybe, I think, at the time.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever...
Probably chilled out now, but...
Well, I think he never loses a score. I get the impression that, like, he knows what he's doing. You don't get that far without being like, oh, you know, I'm everyone's friend.
It won't
friend.
Matter. Yeah. No,
it matters.
It matters. Okay. So that's recording albums.
Right. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, everyone.
There you go. We know.
from a basement in Ottawa, we figured it all out.
We figured it all out on all our experience in music that no one's ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Rick Allen playing the cymbals on Pyromania. Couldn't have felt great at the time.
No.
But it did pay off. So he had to eat a little bit of crow. Mm-hmm. Pyromania would prove to be Def Leppard's biggest release up until that point, more than topping their previous two albums. And thanks to it coinciding with the rise of MTV in the United States at the time, they made them a household name. This side of the pond, thanks to music videos for four of the five singles released from the album Photograph, Rock of Ages, Foolin', Too Late for Love. Yeah. These guys were hot.
For the younger listeners, those MTV was music television, and they used to show music on it. Music videos.
A music video is like a movie with the song.
Yeah, but you had to like watch the TV and wait for it to come on. You couldn't just go on YouTube and look for it.
No, you had to like watch, like, and then these commercials would come in. And commercials are like things you can skip on YouTube. You couldn't skip them when
No.
And so you just run and go to the bathroom or get a glass of water.
You'd run home after school so you don't miss the Much Music Top 10 Countdown.
Much Music was the Canadian version of MTV. And before you had to pay for it, part of pay TV. Then they made it free with basic cable. That's when I started watching it. We had the Pepsi Power Hour. It was the heavy metal show.
Yep. I remember those Rap City, I think.
Rap City was the rap show.
Are You Receiving was the techno.
Yeah.
That was really good.
City Limits was the alt rock show.
Yep.
The Wedge was the alt rock show.
Yeah, a lot of live shows there. First time I ever saw Foo Fighters was on their Much
Intimate
Music.
Intimate and interactive?
Yeah.
Or was it the concert they played?
The concert they played at the Much Music building.
Yeah.
That's cool. Remember Youth?
I think about it every day.
Good. Carry on.
And then I dry my eyes and carry on with my life.
Everything's ruined. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Def Leppard. And they did really good with Pyromania.
Yep.
Pyromania made them huge.
Got it.
Like as big as Michael Jackson.
Whoa.
And he that big, but like, you know, in the vanguard.
Fair enough.
And he was big.
Was he tall?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it like big, like figuratively big?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Like famous.
Got it.
So, you know, they toured for the rest of 83. And then starting in 1984, they started working on the would be the next album, which would eventually become Hysteria. They spent the entirety of the year writing and recording with little to show for their efforts, possibly a combination of partying too hard and just the follow-up nerves.
Oh, yeah.
The jitters. So, fast forward to December 31st, 1984.
Okay.
New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Yeah, we're zeroing in.
There's a time and a date.
Not good.
Oh, no.
Rick Allen and then-girlfriend Miriam Berenson were taking an afternoon spin in Rick's new 1984 Corvette Stingray on the A57 highway leading back to Sheffield. What followed was an impromptu high-speed chase with a couple of yahoos in an Alfa Romeo, and they kind of blew past him on the highway. And sort of proceeded to incite Rick Allen into sort of chicken where it's like, I'm going to go slow. You better pass me. No, you can't pass me.
Don't take the bait.
No.
Never take the bait.
Don't do it.
No.
Bullshit. Like, oh, no, you go. I'd rather you ahead of me than behind me.
Yeah,
fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Rick attempted to pass the car for approximately 4 miles with no success. They're just sort of playing chicken together. Finally, he had had enough. He put his foot to the floor. Overtook the Alfa Romeo just as they're approaching a left-hand curve on the road. So he blew past him, whipped around the corner, and slammed into a brick wall, trapping Miriam in the vehicle and ejecting Rick several meters away into a field.
Why did they put that brick wall there?
They probably weren't expecting a drag race.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had their reasons.
Yeah, jeez.
Stupid. The Alfa Romeo sped away, never to be heard from again. Police questioned two possible suspects a short time later, but nothing ever came of it.
Jeez, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Miriam suffered several injuries to her face and body, none of them life-threatening or permanent. Rick fared much worse. His left arm had become completely severed from his body.
Oh, no.
Possibly being taken off by the seatbelt.
Oh,
so.
Let that be a lesson to you. Don't wear your seatbelt.
No, you peeked at my notes.
Oh, shit. Really? Sorry.
That's exactly what I wrote. Never wear your seatbelt. Nothing good can come of it.
Do not Do not quote us. Do not take that as advice. That is not, we don't endorse that position. Wear your seatbelt at all times.
I endorse it.
Wear two if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, wear one of those cool cross ones.
Yeah, like my son Formula has one. His car seat.
Yeah.
And a Formula One.
Rick wandered over to a nearby house, knocked on the door, and according to Doreen Billington, the woman who answered the door, she was greeted by a young man who stated something to the effect of, I'm a famous drummer, and I just lost my arm in a car accident. It really sunk in quickly. Like how fucked he was.
Holy shit. Wow.
Like, oh, great. Of all the...
And I guess she knew she wasn't in danger because he wasn't armed.
glad you're here. That was not in my notes.
Oh, boy. I've earned my keep. wow.
That's good.
Wow.
We love you, Rick. In a small bit of good fortune, Mrs. Billington turned out to be a retired nurse.
Oh, that is very
fortunate.
That's
pretty good. And proceeded to tend to Rick's injuries.
Right.
Meanwhile, another nurse happened to be driving by, spotted the wreckage, and got out to help.
Wow. And then a surgeon on vacation stopped by.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not done.
Oh. Okay.
Bandaging Rick's shoulder where the arm had been severed, and with help from Tony Beavis, an off-duty police officer.
Okay.
Who also happened to be moseying on by. They didn't quite get the surgeon.
Okay.
That's, you know, collected Rick's arm and packed it in ice until the ambulance arrived. Rick was being seen to in the casualty ward of Royal Hallamshire Hospital in Sheffield, apparently less than 20 minutes after the accident.
Jesus.
So.
I mean, that's where you want it to happen, I guess.
Best case scenario of a worst case scenario.
It definitely sounds like he got into a car crash outside a hospital/police station.
Pretty much. Like, hello, I'm a nurse. I'm a copper.
Great.
We know what to do.
Good.
Yeah. In a very tense and delicate 4-hour operation, microvascular surgeon Dr. Robert Page reattached Rick's left arm. Rick was visited by many friends and family at the hospital, including his bandmates. Singer Joe Elliott recalls hating seeing him in that horrible state. But he was given hope when Rick's older brother, Robert, urged Joe to touch Rick's left hand, pointing out, like, touch it. It's warm. It's red. Yes, you're right. The operation seemed successful.
Uh-oh. You said seemed.
Yeah, I did.
Damn it.
To everyone's total dismay, an infection set in. And the arm had to be removed again. Oh, like,
he lost it twice.
What? Oh my God.
Probably better not to have it reattached in the first place.
Yeah. Oh. Man, this is just a waste of everyone's time. Yeah, this time for good.
Oh, okay.
Not only that, but there was a period of time where the doctors were concerned that if an infection didn't clear up, there was a real possibility that the right arm would have to be removed as well.
Oh no.
So... things are getting darker.
Yeah, this is getting... Okay, fair enough.
But once that slight obstacle was surmounted, the right arm obviously stayed intact.
Oh, good.
And the band just continued working on the Hysteria album, the mindset being that there was no way they were going to fire or replace Rick Allen, that it was sort of up to him to say the word that this was not feasible for him to continue and he's going to bow out.
Yeah, fair enough.
His own terms. But according to all involved, this thought never entered his mind.
Okay.
Rather, he stated almost immediately that he was going to play, that he had been practicing. Statements made from his hospital bed.
He'd been practicing. Okay.
Not sure what that means.
I mean, I'd like drum on a table.
Yeah, probably like, okay, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, I still have rhythm.
Exactly. So just 6 weeks after the accident, Rick returned to the studio, just sort of determined to make a go of it. So the band...
How many times do you think they tried to high-five him?
Oh, right.
Fuck. I just say that because my brother-in-law, who I think you've met, anyway, we've talked about Steve on the podcast.
I don't know if I met him.
Full circle.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned him like every episode for the first 5 episodes and he didn't come up ever again.
Better than Steve. He climbed mountains.
Anyway, mountain climber Steve doesn't have a sense of smell.
Mm.
And the amount of times that I've been like,
and he has to deal with
great.
You. Yeah.
And I'll forget.
Oh,
so I'll be like,
oh,
this smells good.
You?
And like, I got this new whiskey. It smells great. Do you want to smell? And he's like, can't smell. And I'm like, oh, I'm an asshole.
Oh, right. Can't smell.
So like,
you've told me that
every time. Yeah.
Every time I've seen you.
What I'm saying is, if you ever lost your arm, I would try to shake your hand every single time. Honestly.
Yeah. I would do that at least once. Yep. Like some trigger would go off in my brain that would just want to ruin myself.
There's a handful of things that my brain has just decided to be stupid about. And one of them is that Steve can't smell.
Yet somehow you manage to ask him every time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. We're good people.
evidence
to the contrary exists. So while the band so the rest of the band busied themselves with the recording process, this time the drums being completely programmed, of course, cymbals and all. Rick spent time in a different part of the studio figuring out just how the hell he's going to pull this off.
Right.
So according to tour manager Malvin Mortimer.
Nope.
Or whatever.
Not a real name.
No. Just whatever his real name is.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously hiding something.
There we go.
Rick started off with just a kick drum, snare, and hi-hat. Yep. And from the sounds of it, attempted just literally to play drums with one arm.
Trying to picture... Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's stuff you could do.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to play
a Def Leppard song.
Like sort of hard rock.
Yeah.
Not, okay. You know, until you have to do a drum fill, then, oh,
shoot.
So apparently it lasted about 15 minutes before he basically collapsed from the effort. So this quickly proved to be not the way to go.
Untenable. Out of arm's reach.
Exactly. I can't think of one.
No, that's
what you're
another one will come up. I'm sure.
Yeah. So a different approach was devised with help from the people at Simmons, who are well known for their drum pads. A custom kit was built featuring several different foot pedals containing all the triggered sounds that could also be found on the pads Rick would play with his right arm.
Okay.
So Rick set about spending 8 hours a day mastering this brand new approach to drumming, whereby his left foot became his left arm.
Oh, I could see that.
So
yeah, okay.
Right, left.
Yeah.
Right, left. There's your drum beat.
Huh.
Right hand, ping, ping, ping. It's giving a lot to our listeners. I'm demonstrating.
Sure. Lee is waving his arms around.
Yes, I am.
Wildly. Arm.
Arm. Yep. Left one.
Yeah.
Stationary.
Huh.
So that's what he did. Breakthrough moment occurred at some point during the hysteria sessions with Rick working away, where he emerged and summoned everyone into the room and proceeded to play the iconic drum intro from Led Zeppelin's When the Levee Breaks to everyone's amazement, followed by jumps for joy and tears and the whole range of emotions. It seemed like it was going to work.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job, bud.
There you go.
This is a triumph.
There you see? I got one. So the real test came when the band returned to the stage.
Okay.
Well, the studio is one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were booked onto the 1986 Monsters of Rock tour, a string of European dates, which was also to feature Ozzy Osbourne and Bon Jovi.
Sweet Home Alabama. Nope.
Bon Jovi.
Summer 69.
Nope.
There's another one. Did I say Summer 69 just now?
Are you going to say it again? I'm going to leave.
I guess I did.
5 seconds ago.
God.
Bon Jovi.
You're like my
daughter. When I was trying to do math homework with her, she was in grade one. And
oh
she
my
was
God.
Shout
no, tutor.
Any answer.
Tutor.
Tutor, exactly.
The second row has trouble with math, tutor.
You'll find out what an ugly human being you can be.
Not that, but I know I'm going to lead him down the wrong path. My worst marks were math.
Really?
Bon Jovi.
But I would say to her, I don't need you to answer fast. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. Like, I just think about it and answer well.
Okay. Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
It's my life.
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. I didn't think you were going to say that one, but I was like, no. Oh, it is.
Awesome.
Oh, there, yeah, go. That song.
Don't answer fast. Yep.
Good job.
Bon Jovi Friday.
Bon Jovi Friday. I thought you were going to say Living on a Prayer.
No. That come on. Obviously not.
No.
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton.
Forget it. Let's move on.
Okay. That's Office Space. I'm Michael Bolton.
Or should I change my name? He's the one that sucks.
That's so good. Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
So Def Leppard choosing not to go into these huge stadium shows cold. They booked a series of club dates throughout Ireland to warm themselves up. Mm-hmm. At Rick's suggestion, Status Quo drummer Jeff Rich was brought in to help fill out the sound. Mm-hmm. So the first three gigs would feature Rick on his own for the first three songs, which I find weird.
Okay.
With Jeff Rich joining in on the second drum kit for the remainder of the set. I would have thought it had been the opposite.
Well,
two sure. And then get him warmed up. What do I know? At the fourth gig, however, Jeff Rich's flight was delayed, which saw him show up late for the show, resulting in Rick being on his own for the first five songs. After which, Jeff kind of slunk behind his kit and joined in. This would prove to be Jeff's last show with the band, as according to Rick. He approached Rick afterwards and basically said, well, I think you've got this. I'll be going now. It's like,
fair enough.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. So they played Monsters of Rock, and it proved to be this big triumphant comeback for the band. And apparently at the first show of the tour, Rick Allen was introduced at some point by singer Joe Elliott, and the reaction was explosive and just very heartwarming and redeeming.
Yeah.
Hysteria came out the following year, 1987, and would be their biggest album, probably their entire career, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no way any other album topped that one.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Triumphant. And
I would say so.
Yeah. I was looking at several videos when I was putting this together, and I found one where you can really get an idea of how Rick Allen plays his custom drum kit.
Yeah, I can't even picture it.
And just how good he got at it in pretty short order. It's
a
video from 1987. It's probably right around when Hysteria came out, and the band is rehearsing somewhere. They're being filmed for a TV show or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's pro shot, multicam, and the sound is coming off the soundboard, and it's brutally unforgiving. Like the backup vocals sound like, oh,
yeah.
They're not being helped out by any reverb or anything.
You don't want to hear that
song. But the intro to the song features sort of a bunch of drum fills before getting to the beat, and it's pretty amazing.
Right.
Like it's not just kick snare. He's like,
awesome.
Alternating between his hand and his foot, like you would with two hands. Like, holy shit.
But man, imagine doing like a drum roll with your left foot and right hand. Yeah.
Like it would be a sink or swim. And, you know, he was 20 something. So.
Right. Yeah.
He still had the fire of youth,
right,
you know,
yeah.
to fall back on. I mean, it's not surprising to me that he got really good at it.
Well, sure.
Because it was just, I have to do this.
What are you going
to
do?
He had the chops.
Like, we just put out the best album we've ever
done.
I'm not going to stop being in this band.
He told his mom, he's like she said in an interview, like, I was getting complacent. I needed a kick in the ass. It's like, that's a pretty big one.
That's a big one.
It's a kick right in the balls, I would say.
It's a shot in the arm. That's what he needed.
You need a shot in the arm.
A little too hard.
You needed your arm shot off.
Oh, God.
He had he was a fantastic drummer to begin with.
Right.
And interesting that one of the few rock drummers who played with the sort of jazz grip.
Oh, yeah.
With the sort of cross.
Have you ever tried that?
I frig around with it, but I can't.
I always feel like I'm I've tried it a few times, and I feel like I'm playing around. Like I'm holding it that way because some people hold it that way. I never saw the utility. You know what I mean?
No.
Is it supposed to be faster? I guess.
You know, everyone will tell you there's benefits to one or the other. Yeah. I think it's more applicable to jazz, or especially like the marching band.
Yeah, right.
Like, or the, what do you call it?
Does it make rolls, like ghost notes, easier? Is that the idea?
Well, you get more, it's just a different access to speed.
Yeah.
If you're bouncing the stick with your thumb.
Yeah.
Rather than your finger.
Right, yeah. I suppose it kind of goes hand in hand with your play style. Like, I guess I play the drums as if they've wronged me. So yeah, me I need too. Maximum leverage.
I'm out for revenge. It's crazy because, you know, rock drummers, I'm sure, like, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like the better ones. And then you look at some of that, I don't know what you call it, like that stomp the yard shit. Like stuff, like high school football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No,
and
no.
It's the fucking craziest.
Yep.
Like I've watched some videos, like I should sort of, you know, take something from this, and this person be like, oh, okay, this next move is called, you know, swish a sweet or whatever. Yeah. And it's like this drum roll that includes flipping your sticks around.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
so you got to do this.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You're in high school. It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah. 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 It's not even the same like discipline.
No,
it's not. No,
it's
in the same way that like
years beyond,
you know, the people that go to music school and become jazz drummers, mm-hmm, that's like completely different species.
Yeah.
From rock.
Oh yeah. 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 Jazz is beyond me. I'm a rocker.
Have you seen Whiplash?
Yes.
Great movie.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of drumming where I'm like, you're on a different planet. I don't know what you're doing.
No, it's a whole different discipline.
Yeah.
Like that whole, like they, in Whiplash, they talk all about that. Was it double time swing or whatever? Where it's like you want to go like ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
And I've always been like, how?
Yeah.
You get, because we're rock drummers. Yeah. We go ting ta ta ting ta ta ting. It's like, oh, you just do that faster. It's inhuman.
Yeah.
But the jazz way is no. You bounce the stick
right
off the cymbal. So you're just going ding ding.
Yeah.
But the stick is going di ding.
Yeah. And you're controlling that somehow.
Yeah, somehow you're having it be in time. And
it's like the closest analogy.
And it's sort of a push-pull.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
No. And the closest analogy that I can, exactly. Closest analogy is like a blast beat. And my understanding of the blast beat is you do it as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's all I do. Yeah, I'm the same way. And even blast beats have these like, oh, yeah, you do a push-pull. Yeah. Or you do the one-handed roll. Like, nope.
No, power through.
I'm a Mick Harris caveman.
Yeah, brute force.
And
that's all I have.
And there's a speed limit.
I've never been accused. I cannot be accused of having any finesse on the drums.
Yeah, that reputation's followed me around.
Well, but you're way better than I am.
Well.
I can keep a beat.
You can keep it pretty good beat. Yeah, but you will go years without playing and be like, let's play Ham again and be as good as you ever were.
I have finally admitted to myself that I have very solid muscle memory.
Yeah.
Like I guarantee if we, like right now, if I sat down over there, I could play every Ham song. And like, I finally admit to myself that that is an ability of mine.
Oh yeah.
I've noticed that with things like, flying drones, even like playing Doom. Now that it's in my bones, like I'll not do
You'll
it for a few weeks.
You'll never unlearn it.
And I'll sit down and just like pick up where I left off.
Mm-hmm.
That's my one ability. No talent beyond that, but just I can, it's all, it's in the vault. All right. Music. Is it a Def Leppard song?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I had one more quote
Yes, please.
Finish up the episode. So, the quote I've heard from singer Joe Elliott in a few different interviews, it's obviously a sort of stock answer for this topic of Rick's drumming, but he says, the highest compliment I can pay him is that when we're performing and my back is to him, I have no idea that there's anything different about his drumming. He sounds like a regular drummer.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I guess.
You had some idea.
I had some idea, and then I had no idea that he lost his arm.
Right.
I assumed he was born without an arm.
Yeah. Like, were they going to get this kid with one arm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so that's cool. Like, somewhere in the back of your mind, you knew that, oh, yeah, the one-arm drummer.
Yeah. But again, I don't, I'm sure I've heard a Def Leppard song.
You have. Can't you name definitely one. Have.
Can't name one. Just looking for music.
Okay. So yeah, can, music. Yep. It's Def Leppard song.
Is it?
Did you think it would be?
No.
No. Def Leppard were my gateway to heavy metal.
Okay.
When I was 13 or 14, which is funny because like they look like a glam metal band, but they're so poppy.
Okay.
Like they're like pop metal.
Right.
And especially the album Hysteria is really weird. Like there's a lot of keyboards. It's just a funny, weird album, but I still love it. I think they're the Beatles of glam metal, to be honest.
Okay.
So picking one song is not easy, but as I said earlier, you don't really want to pick something from Pyromania or Hysteria if you want to talk about Rick Allen, because he doesn't fucking play on those albums. Mm-hmm. So going back a little bit to their second album, I would pick the title track from that. It's called High and Dry. Mm-hmm. And it's probably better if you watch the video on YouTube and you can see his drumming style. Like right. I said, he plays with the sort of traditional grip, not the match grip.
Yeah.
And pretty awesome song and some great drumming. Yeah.
Awesome.
Check that out. It's good. Their oldest stuff's not, it wasn't quite what I was describing, like pop metal. Like it's more hard rock, kind of very influenced by the glam rock in the 70s, like Bowie and T-Rex and all that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. Check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. I think I will, because I need to listen to some Def Leppard.
Sweet.
Okay, for me,
it's my life. It's an home run of broken.
George Michael.
George Michael's great.
Yeah. Last Christmas. You know what? Because we brought it up, and because they're kind of like my touchstone for this kind of era,
mm-hmm.
we go with a Motorhead song.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if I've actually, well, I don't think I've recommended Motorhead at any point.
Maybe not.
But I'm a Motorhead fan. And my favorite song of theirs is Go to Hell.
I don't know.
You don't know the song Go to Hell by Motorhead?
What album is it from?
It is on
Go to Hell.
It's clearly on the album
Go to Hell?
Iron Fist.
Oh!
Yeah. Okay. Go to Hell's on Iron Fist. I should have known that because, anyway.
That's the album after Ace.
Indeed. Yeah.
I know that.
So, yeah, the only reason really being is my touchstone for like British rock.
Oh, yeah.
Metal, whatever.
None better.
Big Lemmy fan. Go to Hell is, yeah, my favorite song of theirs. And I imagine that might have been the song that they were listening to when they crashed that car.
Could have very well been.
It's the kind of car, it's the kind of song that makes you want to drive a car fast.
I got to check that out when I get home.
Yeah, it's a great track.
Deep cut Motorhead.
Deep cut, Go to Hell. Nice. Check it out.
We'll do.
Because I think Motorhead could use a bump. I don't know how they're doing now.
I don't see their t-shirts everywhere. They could use some help.
Yeah. I should re-up mine. Mine, I wore to the gym until it literally fell apart.
Oh,
so
nice.
I feel like I need a new one. they had me at everything louder than everything else.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that was a disaster. Thanks, Lee.
Oh,
that was a good one.
Not a problem.
That was,
happy,
you know,
help.
Didn't get me up in arms. That was forced. You can cut that one out if you want.
Once I, the second time I ever saw the Dillinger Escape Plan,
mm-hmm.
they had no singer. The singer quit the band okay. 4 days before. So they're just playing instrumentals and
yeah.
they were telling jokes between songs.
Okay.
And the bass player said, what's got 10 legs and 9 arms? Def Leppard. And then the guitar player was like, Liam. No.
Dillinger escaped, man.
Oh, man.
Anyway, thanks for joining us. That was another disaster in our series of disasters on this podcast about disasters. Did you know we're about disasters? We're about disasters.
Oh, what do you mean?
Disasters.
What are you talking about?
If you like what you heard, the best thing you can do to help us out is to tell a friend to listen. The next best thing would be to leave a rating or review wherever you listen. Apple Podcasts, I think, is the best place, but I think Spotify now has ratings.
Oh, good.
And just anywhere. Wherever you listen, rate, review, send us some notes. We like hearing from you. If you want to keep up with us on social media at This Disaster Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you can check out our patreon.com/thisdisasterpod where there are a bunch of bonus bonus episodes, micro disasters, and lots of other cool stuff, like what we mentioned in this episode.
Yeah.
And I think that might be it for now. I know we got some more guest episodes coming up. I think Craig is going to be back sooner rather than later.
Right.
He's cooking something up.
He's got something in the hopper.
It's coming. Nice. So he'll be back on, and then we'll have more disasters. I might even have one coming. Woo! Slowly but surely.
All right.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time.
Still have two kids.
Still two kids. Still a career.
Yep.
We're juggling.
But I'll be there. I'll get there.
Cool, man.
So thanks for joining us, and let's see you in the next disaster. Bye.
Bye.